radio akwa bia si eye
all the praises. That is why today we declare with everything inside of us. Radio Kwaba 104.6 FM. This is Radio Kwaba 104.6 FM on Planet FM. This program is sponsored by the Ghana Station of New Zealand.
The oceans and seas may roar, though the fires may burn.
You listen to My Case Is Different from the album of Bosela Martin.
My case is different, 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 oh, different, different, oh, oh, oh.
And I've got a wonderful brother in the studio here with me today. And I know your life is never going to be the same. Because the Lord will visit you. He will touch you at the point of your need. He's a faithful God and he's faithful and he's, you know, because of you, that's why, you know, he's there for you. He's there for you no matter what you're going through, no matter what the challenge is. Please, we're required for 4.6 FM. Brother Samuel Kundaya in the studio here with me and, sorry.
I get that.
Yeah, huge in Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, okay, so brother, I think I don't want to take much of a time. So the audience are all yours, and I believe that you're going to, God going to use you to touch them,
amen,
at the point of their need.
Amen, amen, hallelujah. First of all, we would like to thank God for this wonderful opportunity to actually be here in the studios once again and be able to actually deliver God's word. You know, I want us all, you know, from wherever you are, let's pray for Broko Joe that God is, you know, speed up his healing in the name of Jesus, and, you know, break every root of every flu whatsoever in the mighty name of Jesus. Broko Joe, we pray for you and we believe God has perfected your healing in Jesus' name. And I would like to thank everyone that has joined us from wherever you may have joined us from, in particular wherever you may be watching this from. If you don't mind, kindly leave me a comment and say hi. You know, I'm watching from so, and I would, you know, if I see it by the grace of God, I would acknowledge you during the course of the program. Today's message is titled Unashamedly Purposeful. Unashamedly Purposeful. And I tell you, it's going to be really, really powerful. It's something that will change your life forever. And I don't want you to miss it. As a result, may I enjoin that you please share this message right now. Share it with people on your timeline. Share it with your friends. Share it with someone in their inbox if you have to. Just share it with somebody because it's going to be a phenomenal time in the presence of God. It's going to be a life-changing encounter. And I do not, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, just to pump you up. I'm saying that because I mean it. God has given us a word that would really, really, really change lives. Amen. Before I go ahead, I would like to first of all thank my pastor, my father in the Lord, here, Pastor David Adelowo of the Redeemed Christian Church of God here in New Zealand. The church, the pastor and the entire pastorate are paying for this airtime at the moment. And so I'm really, really grateful to be here. It's you know, when you're entrusted with time like this, one has to use it, you know, for a good reason. And I really thank God also for the opportunity to be able to bring his word as well. I want to thank everyone that would normally tune in, you know, at times like this to hear this word from wherever you may be tuning in from I can see DJ all here in New Zealand, my former student, God bless you. You know, I can see, you know, people coming through, my wife as well, God bless you, my lovely wife. And thank you all for tuning in from wherever you may be tuning in from. God bless you mightily. What we are going to hear today is phenomenal. It is life changing, and I believe your life will never remain the same again in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me go right straight into the word, but before I do that, I would like to pray. Father Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, you have been the same and you will remain the same. Father, we thank you because the entrance of your word giveth light and understanding to the simple. As we embark on your word today, we pray, Lord, that your light will enter into our lives and begin to drive away every darkness in the mighty name of Jesus. Today, someone's life will change forever. Today, someone will be delivered. Today, someone will get breakthrough. Today, someone will get extraordinary confidence to face the future. We give you all the praise and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So today, we're talking about unashamedly purposeful. Unashamedly purposeful. And this, you know, came out of research that I've been doing recently and a revelation that God gave me. You know, and I've been studying lately into people in the scriptures, people in the Bible. Thank you, Reverend Brian Bennett, for joining us. God bless you. You know, people in the Bible who are purposeful people, people who have chosen to live a life of purpose. And I've been, you know, just researching into their lives and trying to draw, common themes, out of what is common to them. And so far I've found two things that is extremely common to all of them. And number one, it is that they are never afraid of death. They are never afraid of death. Anyone living on purpose, fulfilling the purpose of God for their lives, they are never afraid to die. Because there is just this extraordinary confidence about life. You know, it's like you're doing an assignment and you're just confident that until that assignment finishes, you're not done. You know, and that's what I've come to discover about all these men, in the scriptures that fulfilled purpose and lived a life of purpose. They were never at any point in time afraid to die. There was just that passionate confidence to live life and to fulfill purpose and to live fully. And number two, which is what I'm sharing today, these people are never ashamed to live out their purpose. They were unashamedly confident people to live out their calling, to fulfill their assignment, to fulfill the essence of their living. And every single day, every single account of such people, we're going to look at some of them today. Paul, quote them, David, Joseph, all of them. There is just this extraordinary confidence that comes with, the way they live their life. They were never ashamed to do what they were called to do. And that's one of the things I want to share with you today. And that's why I titled it Unashamedly Purposeful. And I pray by the end of this message, whoever is watching me or listening right now, whether you're listening on radio, whether you're watching on Facebook Live, wherever you may be watching from, I pray by the end of this message, the confidence to live life on purpose and never be ashamed to do what God has called you here on earth to do, God will give to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm learning that as well, and I want to live life that way, where I am unashamedly confident about my purpose. And I pray by the grace of God, whoever is watching this right now, God will make that your own story too, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me draw your attention to Luke, the Bible, in the book of Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and I want to read to you from verse 5. Jesus, shared a parable there, very significant parable. And he says, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. In other words, give me 3 loaves of bread, or give me 3 slices of bread, or, whatever way you want to call it in our day. And verse 6 says, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey. That was the purpose of actually going to ask for the bread. Amen. And I have nothing set before him. In other words, the reason why I am coming to you is because I have, a visitor in my house, and I need to give him bread. And at this hour, there is no other place for me to get bread save for you, my friend, my neighbor. And he knocked on the door of his friend. That is purpose. Verse 7 now says, and we answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise to give to you, with a question mark. Verse 8 now says, I said to you, Jesus is the one saying, though he will not rise, in other words, though his friend will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. I'm going to read another version, that verse 8 in another version, which is actually the precursor to this message. But NIV says it like this. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give the bread because of friendship, yet because of his shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. I'm going to read it from another version of the scripture. NLT says it like this. But I tell you this,
though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. People who live a life of purpose are people who are shamelessly persistent about their assignment. People who are shamelessly dogged about their calling. People who don't care, like I was saying on Facebook this week, who don't care what anyone thinks about them. People who don't care about dignity. People who don't care about what other people are saying about them. What they care about is fulfilling the purpose of their master, fulfilling the purpose of their maker, fulfilling the will of their creator. And that's why I'm bringing this message to you today, because I feel it's an important word for you to hear, that it is important that when you are on your assignment, every other external thing does not matter. It does not matter whether it is midnight. For this friend that we're reading about in the book of Luke chapter 11, for those joining us, we're reading Luke chapter 11. This friend did not care whether it was midnight. Hello? It didn't care whether the children of his friend had slept or not. It did not care whether he would wake up the neighbors by knocking his door. It did not care. All he cared about was purpose. He was so persistent that I need to get bread for my visitor. I need to get this assignment done. I need to get this work done. And I don't care how I get it done. It just has to be done. I don't know about your situation right now. Maybe you are in a foreign land and God has been speaking to you about the purpose, his purpose for you in that land. God has been speaking to you about his direction for you in that land. And because of some things, because of dollars, because of money, because of pride, because of whatever reason, you have decided to abandon your assignment and focus completely on gathering money. Listen to me. You are living outside of purpose. It is time to make a U-turn. I'm going to share this, story with you. There was a time my father, my dad, my spiritual hero and mentor to the glory of God, my dad, moved to Asia. I remember he moved to Singapore, before he, brought us along. And his main purpose for actually going to Asia, if we were to put it in order of priority, his own personal purpose here, reason, was he was going to, advance his studies. And, he was going to, get a job. And lastly, he was going to do missions. So, if we're going to put in order of priority, further studies, next one was to get a job. And thirdly was to fulfill, do missions. In other words, do the work of God. In other words, fulfill purpose. Praise God. You know what God did? So he got to Singapore. He tried to get admission, he couldn't get. He tried to get a job, he couldn't get. So what God did for him was turn the three around. Amen, like this. So what happened was missions came first. And I will share that story, what precisely happened. Followed by the job. And lastly, followed by furthering his studies. What I'm trying to say to you is God has a way of reversing. No wonder the Bible says, one of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. He says that, many are the plans in a man's heart. He says, nevertheless, in other words, come what may, it doesn't matter what you do. Only the purpose of God will stand. And God reversed that, such that by the time he couldn't get admission, and it was becoming an issue, he couldn't get a job, it was becoming a problem.
God now sent, you know, him to a church. And in that church, they were looking for an African missionary. Or maybe he was the one that, you know, initiated the African missions, whatever. You know, it came about that that was how God planted his feet on that ground, in that nation. And that was how he got a job. And eventually furthered his studies. My point to you today is, until you unashamedly stand for purpose, live a life of purpose, choose to put purpose in first, you will discover that life will be miserable. Life will be frustrating. You know, I was saying this in the last power seminar we had here in Auckland the other day, and I was sharing that many of us are successful failures. Why? Because people look at you and they think you are successful. Whereas God, in his right senses, is looking at you and he's saying, you know, the Bible says he doesn't see as man sees. Men are looking at your cars. And so, you know, if you're listening to me right now, you're living in the United States or you're living somewhere and you're riding a big car, you know, and men are looking at the big car. They're looking at the big house. They're looking at all that you're doing and it appears you're successful. Whereas God is saying, the assignment that I sent you there to do, you are not doing it yet. That is what I call a successful failure. People are looking at you and they think you're successful. Whereas God is saying to you, excuse me, you are not doing the assignment yet. And I was sharing in that power seminar, I gave an example of one of my former students. This guy, every time you give him something to do, if you give him A, he will completely leave A and go and do B. Something opposite the assignment. And he would do that thing opposite the assignment so excellently well that even you, the lecturer, will be so confused and you will be having to read the question again, wondering, excuse me, is this what is this guy supposed to do? What has he done? That is what I call a successful failure. When you are doing what you are not supposed to be doing and you are doing it excellently well, and it appears to the whole world that you're successful and you're making money and you're riding big cars, that is what I call a successful failure. You and I, we need to be unashamedly fulfilling purpose. We need to be unashamedly living our purpose every single day, no matter what people say. Even if it is not bringing you the money you desire at the moment, even if it appears that nothing will come out of it, even if it appears that it's a struggle, but you are confident that this is your purpose and you begin to live it unashamedly, I assure you it's only a matter of time. You know, I told you, you know, at the beginning of this message that I've been doing some research on all of these people. See, their beginning was small, but there was something about their mindset that was not small. And every time a man is on purpose, their mindset is larger than them. Their mindset is larger than their condition. See, when you're on purpose, you make decisions that are larger than your condition. Your condition, I'm going to say that again. When you're on purpose, your decisions are always bigger than your condition. People will look at you and they will never be able to understand your decision. Somebody looked at my dad the other day too when we were in Singapore and said, Pastor John, isn't this stupid? How can you not have a job in Singapore or not have any hope, you know, in this country, and you bring an entire family, you know, of four children plus you and your wife, and you claim that to be faith? The man looked at my dad and said, I think this is stupidity, not faith. What I'm trying to say is, see, when you are on purpose, when God has spoken to you, when God is directing your footsteps, see, the decisions you make are usually bigger than your condition. And that's why people will call you mad. Like a message I'm preparing for another place I'll be speaking, I call it the man people call mad. The man people call mad is a man on purpose, because people cannot figure out what you're seeing. A man of vision is always mad in the eyes of the ordinary people. Why? Because when they look at you, they cannot figure out logically the decisions you are making, because it would not make sense. I mean, okay, for instance, somebody has been casting the net, you know, all through, all day, all night long, inside the same, you know, ocean, inside the same sea, inside the same water, and could not catch any fish all night. And Jesus came there and said, oh, yeah, go and cast that same net back to that same river. Peter
even the way Peter even answered Jesus was like, hey, Jesus, excuse me, please. We are talking, are we not talking about this same river? Do you want us to go elsewhere? I said, we have been here all night. I mean, Jesus, sir, if it's not because of you, and that was what literally what Peter said, sir, if not because I respect you, oh, Rakayaba Sanda, you know, if not because I respect you and I know it is you, okay, because it is you, okay, let me go and cast the net. What I'm trying to say is, see, when you're on purpose, your decisions will be greater than your condition. You will just know, because what you are seeing with the inner eye is not the same as what everyone else is seeing with the ordinary eye. And that is why people will call you mad. Let me go into this message because I'm catching a revelation that I'm just so excited about. Amen. And, you know, like we saw in that Luke chapter 11, that man had a purpose and he didn't care. And I don't know, maybe money is what is affecting you living purpose right now, living on purpose right now. Maybe it's because of what your friends will say. Maybe it's because of what your condition is like and you have been so confined into a box. You're trying to live like the ordinary man. you're just trying to make ends meet. Listen to me. I want to pray for you because I believe very strongly that is what that's the plan of the devil, to keep you from not living a fulfilled life, from not living a life that God has destined and purposed for you. See, that is how the devil tame destinies of men. You know, it is important that you do not allow the enemy to make your condition be the limitation, you know, to your life. See, some people, it is their condition that is the limitation for their, you know, for their life. Instead of them to rise above their limitation, rise above their condition and break the bounds of limitation, they, because of their condition, stay in that limitation and limit themselves all the days of their life. Whereas God is planning this high for them. Because of their condition, they remain this low. Because of some small successes, some human defined successes of cars and money, they remain this low. Whereas God is actually planning something higher. If you're the one right now, I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for whoever is honestly watching this right now and is saying, this man is speaking to me. I have allowed my condition to make me stay where I am. I have allowed what people are saying to make me be limited in this area. I've not been fulfilling purpose because of what people will think or say about me. I've become ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or I've become ashamed of my calling. I've become ashamed of the reason for my living. Father, I pray for this person that right now they will begin to experience the intestinal fortitude, the drive, the vision, everything that they need to carry out their life's assignment in the mighty name of Jesus. Nothing will stop them in Jesus' mighty name. See, if you've heard that, one thing I want you to take home is the fact that you should never let your condition limit your vision. I'm going to say that again because I want you to get it. Don't ever let your condition limit your vision. The moment your condition limits your vision, your life will remain ordinary. And there is nobody that I know that God has created to remain ordinary. I'm going to say that again. There is nobody that I know that God has created to remain ordinary. It is the quality of your decisions in your conditions that can either make you ordinary or extraordinary. I'm going to say that again. I'm on some dimensions. It's like I'm on drugs. The things that are coming into my head right now, I believe God is just wanting me to say these things to you. See, the quality of your decisions in your condition is really, really significant to your life, and it will make or mar your life, determine whether you remain ordinary or extraordinary. Whereas God's purpose for you is to be extraordinary, if you let your condition limit you and limit the decisions that you make, you will discover you will remain ordinary. And that is the plan of the devil. And I pray the plan of the devil will not come to pass in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. There's one more thing I want to share before our time goes. See, David was another man in the Bible that was unashamedly living a life of purpose. The Bible recorded that he was asked to take lunch to his brothers that were soldiers in the army of Israel at that particular point in time. And when he got there, the Bible recorded that he met Goliath marching 40 days and 40 nights and threatening the army of Israel. And there was a point in time, I love that passage very well. For those who are trying to catch that is in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know, and David asked at a point in time, you know, in verse 28 here, you know, he said, please, I would like to know what will be given to the guy that killed this man. That's purpose. David was beginning to make some decisions in his heart that if I can just kill this guy, my life will become extraordinary. Other people were afraid. They were being limited by their condition. What David was rather doing was he was being elevated by his own condition. He was making some quality decisions in his heart and in his mind. He was seeing what other people are not seeing. Other people were seeing giants. David was seeing opportunity. And David said, please, let me know what will be given to this man that will kill this guy. And they begin to let David know. They said, okay, you know, the king will make this man of great wealth. You know, whoever kills him, the king will give him his daughter in marriage and exempt his family from taxes in Israel. And David said, hey, you mean this is it? David said, no problem. And like I said earlier on, the quality of the decisions you make in your condition will determine whether you will live an extraordinary life. God bless my one of my bonds, you know, all the way from Nigeria, one of my big brothers all the way from Nigeria, Mr. Peterson Adeniyi. God bless you. Thanks for watching. And David began to make a decision even in that condition. And the decision was that I think I'm going to kill this guy. Not even I think. I know I'm going to kill this guy. To the extent that what he did not even say out loud got to the king. I'm going to read that scripture. Verse 30. The Bible says, what David said, because the Bible did not record that he actually said it loud, that he will kill Goliath. He didn't say it out loud. I'll read from verse 29. It says, now, what have I done? You know, he was responding to his big brother. It said, David, can't I even speak? Verse 30 says, he then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the man answered him as before. In other words, recounting what the king would do, you know, to anyone that killed that Goliath. Verse 31 now said, what David said. The Bible did not record that David said anything out loud in terms of, I will kill Goliath. He didn't say that. But the Bible says, what David said was overheard and reported to the king, to Saul. And Saul sent for him. What I'm trying to say to you is, when you become unashamed of your purpose, when you become unashamed of your life's calling and assignment, kings will begin to send for you. I was saying this at the last power seminar we had here. When you begin to live a life of purpose, men and women will begin to pay to hear you, to see you do what you do best, to watch you do what you do best. And that is why even when you have not said anything, value will be speaking on your behalf. Purpose will be speaking on your behalf. Limitations will give way. And you will discover that your life will begin to make a lot of meaning. You begin to live extraordinarily. And see, that might take time, of course, because sometimes you may be with the sheep and you're killing lions and bear, and nobody can see that when you're fulfilling purpose and doing all of that. But there will come a time of significance that if you're still unashamed about your purpose and you're still not ashamed about that life's calling, you will discover that kings from all over the world will begin to send for you and say, excuse me, that thing you do so well, come and do it again. That thing you say you know how to do, come and do it, and we will pay. I have to stop here because of our time, and I wish I could go on. My point to you is, when you become unashamed of your purpose, you will discover that you are no longer limited by life's condition. You are no longer limited by whatever it is that may be limiting the ordinary man. What then begins to carry you like the waves of the sea carries the ship and the boat? is the quality of your decisions. And like we have learned today, irrespective of whether it is midnight or not, irrespective of whether the neighbors will wake up or not, that man unashamedly, shamelessly was persistent, knocked on the door. What do you need to fulfill your purpose? Do you need to learn a particular skill? Do you need to go back to school? Do you need to take some courses? Do you need to begin small? Whatever it is that you need to do to now start living a life of purpose. See, shamelessly and persistently begin to do it. And that's the advice that I will give to you today. Shamelessly and persistently begin to do it. Don't care what people say. Don't care what people will say. Because if you do and or you don't do, people will still say. whether you do or you don't do, people will say. Amen. So you might as well do. Oh, let me close because of time. Whether you do or you don't do, people will talk. So you might as well do. So that by the end of the day, when they talk, they will be talking about your significance and your elevation. And that is what will happen in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe you have been blessed by this message. And if you have been blessed and you're watching this on Facebook, leave me a comment. Let me know. Amen. I always say that, you know, those are the sort of things by the grace of God that encourages you, you know, to know you are in purpose. May God help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you all for tuning in from wherever you may have tuned in from today. And I pray God will bless you mightily in the name of Jesus. Of course, if you've watched this, you know, let me know where you're watching from and I'll reply to you later. If you have watched this message as well and you honestly say, Samuel, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to be able to understand my purpose from the perspective of my maker. I want to be able to understand God's, you know, my life's assignment from the perspective of my of the one that has called me. And you want me to pray for you. Wherever you are, you know, just put your hand on your chest and say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word that I've heard today. I want to unashamedly, shamelessly, persistently live my calling. I want to live a life of purpose. I don't want anything to hold me back anymore. I don't want anything to hinder me anymore. I want to push shamelessly. I want to push persistently to live a life of purpose. Forgive my sins. Heal me. Let me be able to follow you from today onwards. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, you've just gotten born again. What you need to do now is begin to, you know, go and find a Bible-believing church around you from wherever you may be watching this from. Find a Bible-believing church around and begin to ensure that you're living purpose, living a life of purpose unashamedly, without any shame, persistently, making sure that the quality of your decisions is not, you know, is helping, you know, you deliver you from your condition, breaking you off every limitation. God bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen, amen. Your gift will bring you before great men. Amen. So if you're going to go before great people, if you're going to go before great men, that's what God has given you is what's going to bring you before great people. That's going to bring you, elevate you. Mm. So don't hold it back. Amen. Just use it and allow God to bless you. God, amen, bless you, Abraham Samuel. And I know that God is touching people's life with the message. And we continue to pray that the Lord will bless you and enlarge your territories.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's have a quick listen to music and I'm going to come back to you back again.
I heard a voice inside.
Radio Kwab 104.6 FM. Just listening to the Redeemed Christian Church. I got a wonderful man of God right in the studio here with me. And most of you are watching us on Facebook. We'll be watching us on Facebook later. But after this, I'll just quickly go to Facebook and I'll play you some advertisement. So we're going to go in our local language this time. Because this message is for the Ghanaian local. But when you finish, I'll try and also do help those of you who are non-Ghanaian but also want to know what's going on. So Lighthouse Chapel International, Auckland branch. Lighthouse Chapel International, New Zealand, Auckland branch. They're bringing something new, bringing Ghana to New Zealand, bringing the message or the gospel in a way that we can, the Ghanaians in New Zealand can relate to. And I've got a wonderful man of God right in the studio here with me. I've got Pastor Peter Mensah in the studio here with me. Welcome, Pastor.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much, and God bless you for coming to the studio here. I understand Lighthouse Chapel, Auckland, has got a message for Ghanaians, or New Zealand, Aucklanders in New Zealand. What have you got? What message have you got, Lighthouse got for Ghanaians in New Zealand?
Well, I believe that we've been here for quite a long time, and Auckland is a metropolitan city. Every nation is here. The whole world is in Auckland here, and we've got the Chinese, we've got the Koreans, we've got Samoans, we've got Ghanaians, Nigerians, we're all here. The interesting thing about Auckland is that every people group have got their own church service in their language. Chinese have got their church in Chinese language. Samoans have got Samoan churches in Samoan language. Koreans have got Korean churches in Korean language. It's only we Ghanaians and probably Africans that we don't have a church in our own language. So God has put it in our heart that we also start a new thing, and that thing is planting a church or doing having a church service in our own tree language.
Okay, yeah. So having a service in our own language, the language. Because sometimes when you are in Ghana or you are in you are back home and you are worshiping God in your own language, it feels different.
That's right. We all, you know, pack and save is here. We go there. We buy stuff. We have a lot of fizzy drink, but drinking malt from Ghana is different.
It's different, yes.
Worshiping God in your own language is so interesting and so good because you don't have to struggle for which words to use. It just flows.
It just flows. Yeah.
That is the beauty of worshiping God in your
language. It's powerful, and because I think also it's also powerful the case we got in our case to be able to also to have the desire to learn the language
That's one of the main purposes. Some time ago, I tried even teaching the kids a tree language, and we started and ended up somewhere else. But this time, parents can come with their children to have a feel of how we worship, how we dance, how we do things in Ghana, and they also learn how to serve God in their
language. That's powerful. That's serving the Lord in our own language, in our own culture, the way we live ourselves, the way we sing, the way we dress, the way we dance, you know, in an African style. You know, is it only for Ghanaians?
At the moment, it's going to be purely for Ghanaians, but whoever wants to relate with Ghanaians, want to come and have a feel of the Ghanaian culture, Ghanaian language, also welcome. Everybody is welcome.
Okay, so that's good. Yeah. So what is that? What are we talking about? What are we looking at in terms of the timing? You know.
Oh, it's going to be very pretty soon. We are looking at probably the second week in August. Yeah. Exactly the 20th of August.
Yeah.
We are starting. So this advent will go for today. It will go next week and the third week.
Yeah.
And then on the 20th we are starting. So there's no time to wait.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. So in that term, so 20th of August.
That's right.
Yeah, and what time are we looking at?
Yes, it will be held at Lighthouse Chapel International. In fact, you've got a new name called Master Seed Chapel International.
Oh, Master Seed Chapel International.
That is the new name for Lighthouse. And we are starting 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yes,
and then we'll finish at 7:30 p.m. So that people can go to their local churches, and if they want to come and fellowship with us in the Cree language, they are also welcome.
Okay, so so what was the venue? That there's someone on the address.
The address is 20B T-Pipe Place, Henderson. T-Pipe Place is opposite the Netball Stadium in Henderson. So if you know where the Netball Stadium is in Henderson, Lincoln Road.
Of Lincoln Road,
that is where Lighthouse is located.
Okay, yeah. So that's 20B Tepa Place.
That's right.
Yeah, off Lincoln Road, close to where the park and save is. Yeah. So if you are listening to us, or you are out there, you are Ghanaian, or you know any Ghanaian who is not there's somebody actually calling to the studio. So whoever is calling to the studio, please maybe just I think pastor need to leave very soon. So once he leaves, you can call back again and we'll have a conversation. Okay, so once you if you are listening to us and you are a Ghanaian, you feel like you want to be able to come. We want to invite you to come join us. Let's do it in our own language. We don't have to translate for you, but because you are doing it in your own language, kids have got an opportunity to be able to learn it as well. But maybe you are a non-Ghanaian, feel like you also want to come and learn the culture of the Ghanaian or learn the language. So you are welcome to do so. That's and right. We believe that this is bringing the culture of Africa or Ghana into a new level, because they all got it. Korea has got it. China has got it. Maybe some Nigerians have got it. Some different some Ethiopians have got it. Samoans have got it. Tongans have got it. Some Congolese have got it. Why? And it's about time that Ghana, we got our own.
That's right.
And I think that's powerful. That's very powerful. So we're going to continue this advertisement for 3 weeks. Pastor needs to go. So what I'll do is I will allow Pastor to go, and I'll just take this quick phone call, and once I'll allow Pastor to go, and as soon as he goes, I'm going to play an advertisement. Okay, so just, whoever is calling, just hold on. Hello? Okay, I think the caller is gone. Okay, yeah, so don't worry. You can call again later. So, Pastor, I need to go now. So, we're going to continue this advertisement, and I'm going to come back to you again. So, I'll let Pastor leave now, and I'll continue this advertisement later. Let's listen to some advertisement from the Lighthouse Chapel International. I'll just do this, and I'll allow Pastor to go, and I'll have a play a quick...
Lighthouse Chapel International, and you to four and I, Moti and Kane. When Yamiaka Kuma say a few way, if Ghana are sorry, I say, ah, you did, she and the bear are sorry. In this summary, yeah, you bet you can and you be a or take out of whom said, or bet joining and I yet on Trum as of you who are our Yenai Krum Casemu. In this, I would take Sani, Nase. When it's Jose, over Kaya, when they have some Ghana, yes, some Yame war, ye peak as a one. Major Fred Damensa, or 021 0220206936. Na yenu new ekita ho sa asafui yade ai bia ma obia obi biara o tinka se o pese oni yesum ewo twi kasemu no o betimi abekan ye ho ye be start ya sorry no ewo august mu na ibe fi asori na se 6 o'clock every evening Sunday evening till 7:30 inji o beti ye nka bi.
Six FM listening to Christian Land Love. Now she's Obapa Christie. Topic for discussion today is a Ghanaian nurse. A nurse in Ghana got fired. She was sacked for live streaming on Facebook. sorry for my call. People keep saying, "Sir, Facebook, yeah, they are sending brain go for that crew." And now, some people say this Facebook thing, this live streaming Facebook, this social media will create a problem for some people, and definitely has created a problem for somebody in Ghana. A nurse in Ghana has been fired. She fired. She lost her job because she was live streaming during work hours. Yeah.
Tee, 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 tee.
Jacob Asuman, thank for joining us. Jacob, thank for joining us on Facebook. And once you join us on Facebook, please feel free to share the video. We're going to go into the studio and have some wonderful discussion very soon. Radio Aquaba 104.6 FM. I'm just doing some few stuff here, and as soon as we finish, we're going to go right into the studio because Freddy is ready to have some wonderful discussion with us.
That question is about me.
So that question is about me. So we're going to go to the studio very soon and have some wonderful discussions. If you join us on Facebook, tell us where you are joining us from. I know Jacob Asuman has just joined us on Facebook. Quite a lot of you are joining us on Facebook. Our numbers are increasing. So please, once you join us on Facebook, please feel free to join the conversation. Feel free to tell us where you are joining us from, and we will acknowledge you. Once you join us on Facebook, feel free to let us know where you're joining us from, and we will acknowledge you. So this program is about a nurse in Ghana. During working hours, she was seeing live. So this thing came on Adom FM, and I saw on a base camp Nana Prempeh in Germany, and the Mad King also on their Facebook pages, they shared it, they discussed about it, they thought about it. And the question now is, the nurse was live streaming while during the Facebook time, during work hours, doing Facebook live stream. People were asking some questions. Some would say, blow me a kiss, have you got a boyfriend, have you got a girlfriend, supposedly working hours. And this nurse was doing working hours, she was live streaming, she was doing things that is not related to work, live streaming. And all these things were going on at the same time. So it came on Adom TV, or Adom FM, Biscout and Prempeh in Germany. I'm shouting out to you, Biscout, and the Marking in Germany as well. You picked it up, it became started trending on social media, and the lady she lost her job, she was fired for what she did. Now, the question now is, the offense, was it a sackable offense? Was it an offense that deserved to be sacked? Did she really needed to be sacked? So, Nina has also joined us on Facebook. Nina, you have joined us on Facebook. Thanks for watching that. Was it a sackable offense? Was it an offense was she supposed to be fired? That is what is going on. People are, you know, in Ghana, when things happen, we become emotional. Like, oh, you know, she lost her job. How is she going to survive? And all this is happening. And the question now is, there has been a lot of complaints in Ghana. And I know somebody personally who has complained to me about the behavior of some of the nurses in Ghana. During working hours, some of them will be on Facebook and WhatsApp group and chatting and chit-chat and talking about videos, and not only about nurses, but also it's about, if you go to the bank, It happened to me. If you go to the bank, it happens there. Kofi Odo has joined us on Facebook as well. It happened in different departments, different areas, different professions. It happened. But today it's nursing. It has happened to a nurse in Ghana. She lost her job because during working hours, she was live streaming on Facebook. But the question now is, what she did? Was it a second offense? So I'll go to Kwesi Freddy, and after Kwesi Freddy, I also come in and add because I work in the health industry, and also I can also share my thought. But and also there's things that we can learn from, a lesson for us all. If you are a nurse, you are a doctor, whatever you do, you are whatever profession that you are performing in Ghana, we need to start looking at the dangers because my mommy can say some Facebook here they are saying about that you and they are saying Abre Obinu and she lost her job. So Kwesi, I'm going to walk into the studio right now and I'm going to have a quick chat with Kwesi Freddy. Kwesi, the audience are watching you, and Nana Kwesi Poku the second, thanks for joining. Good morning to you as well. So I'm going to go to Kwesi Freddy. Kwesi, me ma miss Facebook. They are bro. Everybody dachi. what do you think about it? It's not only about nurses, but I will come to the nursing part. The behavior of some of the professionals in Ghana.
I cannot sit and play holy.
Yeah.
We all go to work. Sometimes we jump on our phones and start making calls.
Yeah.
Sometimes unnecessary. Mm-hmm. We do that a lot. So many people does it. So we shouldn't sit down here and play holy.
Yeah,
but it's not something that I will promote.
Yeah,
that if you're working, you have to take your work serious.
Yes,
see, most people doesn't really take their work serious.
Yeah,
and for the time being, a lot of people are on the nurses case because most people don't like the attitude of some of the nurses.
Yeah,
in Ghana, so, I don't say all of them are bad, but sometimes you can get to the hospital whereby you see some nurses whereby their behavior is not really approachable at all.
Yeah.
I hardly come across doctors. People were talking about doctors.
Mm.
Hardly.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they are holy.
Yeah.
There might be some few.
Yeah.
But when it comes to nurses, it's almost everywhere. So already people are on their cases already. Mm. And this one has come through.
Yeah,
we all do that.
Okay, because just before we go ahead, let me acknowledge some of my Facebook viewers. So, Awushi Tete Ben, he said, I'm watching you live from Odupon of Angkor.
Okay.
Nana Akwasi Poku, he said, good morning. Nana Akwasi Poku, the second, is watching us from UK. And Nana Asuodumja Asaberima Ababio, the second, also is watching us from Australia, New South Wales. So just Kwesi, go ahead. Once you come on, tell us where you join us from, and we're going to acknowledge you. Kwesi, go ahead.
Yeah. As I said, we don't have to play holy and say, oh, yes, that's always that. You know, I know it's wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm not in the nursing industry.
Yeah.
When you do something wrong, sometimes they can just suck you. I know a guy whereby he didn't come to work for the first day.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't ring in.
Yeah.
Second time he didn't come. He came the third day.
Yeah.
He was just sacked.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? There was no written warning.
Yeah.
So every industry has got their own rules and their own regulations.
Yes.
You see what I mean? I've got a mate from Kenya. Mm-hmm. We work together.
Yeah.
So I told him that all this contract that have given us to sign, it's a piece of paper to me.
Yeah.
Make sure you do the right thing.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Mm.
They have just given you just a few law because those who wrote this, contracts, they are professionals.
Yeah.
They are academics.
Yeah.
You can never beat them anyway. Yeah. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they have just given you just a bit of a opportunity. So you make sure that you don't fool around.
Yeah.
And many people, when they get a contract in a lot of industries, they don't really realize that until they get into such an extreme problems.
Yeah.
Then they begin to realize. And they need to, everybody needs to respect the job that they have taken.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So I wouldn't say that the person who sat here, he is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the top and he wouldn't look down and say, oh, I've got my worker. He's supposed to do his duty, but he refused to perform his duty, her duties.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
And otherwise, other cases also, a lot of people are talking about it,
mm-hmm.
that this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a manager or a director, and your worker does anything wrong, people get to the public.
Yeah.
This one is the public that have seen it.
Yeah.
It's not just indoors.
Yeah.
So once something has gone out there and people are watching it, people are talking about it.
Yeah.
You have to treat it in a different way.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why maybe this director said, no, you have to work out from here.
Yeah.
And okay. also has to be a lesson for other people. So I wouldn't say that she is not a sacrable offense or it's not, because you are in the nursing industry.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you may even have more answer to this.
So because you say yes, I'm in the heavy industry. So I'll share my thought on this. What is happening is that I'll share my thought on this. So we are not saying that all the nurses in Ghana have got this problem.
No.
You know, we will never say that. So Nana Akwasi Poku says, look, because Facebook, a lot of marriage has been distracted. So not only in the health profession, in marriages, people have lost their marriage. People have lost their husband, their wife through social media, through WhatsApp. So it's very true. So the WhatsApp group is causing a lot of all this in social media is causing a lot of problem for many people. But the question now is, how do we manage this? So now, coming to the health side, we are not saying it's a problem. We've got some wonderful nurses in Ghana, and I'll attest to that. My sister-in-law is a nurse, and she's wonderful. When I talk to her, some of the things she says and some of the things she do, it's wonderful. It's great, you know, and I'm very proud of her. But there are some attitude of not only nurses, but many people in Ghana that actually we need to be able to start addressing them. And I think this is the beginning that we need to... this is the beginning. One... For me, every profession have got code of ethics.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a banker, if you are a nurse,
it could be in a different branch.
Because
I work in the same industry. I do the same thing.
Yes.
But I've worked for three different industries.
Yeah.
In the past maybe 6 years.
Yes.
But wherever you go, the rules are a bit different.
So every industry have got their own code of ethics. So if you go to the health professional, especially if you go to the nursing, medical, or anything related to health. The health industry is very protective of its image because it's based on because if you are in the health industry, whatever they are doing is based on the trust from the public.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's different from when you go to the bank because I have to go.
Yes.
You know, so I can keep my money in the house, whatever I have. But most of these professions don't have this kind of protection. But if we go to the health industry, the medical, the nursing, or the allied health, they are all have... something to protect, an image to protect, because it's the way the public see them.
Yes.
And if you go online, there's a lot of research about the most trusted professions in the world, and mostly it's either nursing is number one,
mm-hmm.
or medicine doctors are number two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always like the public have got a lot of trust because you are in a very vulnerable position, people always come to you and they need help.
Yeah.
So the health industry have got an image they need to protect. That's very important. So because of that, the nursing profession have got what they call the code of ethics,
mm-hmm.
which means that beside your regulatory body, your company have got their own code of ethics. Your regulatory body, which is the nursing council or the nursing whatever they call it in whichever country you own, also have got their own code of ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the key component of the code of ethics is bringing the name of the profession into disrepute.
Yeah.
The meaning is that whatever you are doing, what you do. Making sure that whatever you do does not bring the name of your profession into don't bring bad image to the profession. So say if you go and do something and that thing has got a potential to be to bring a bad image to your profession, you can't be disciplined for it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not very clear. So it's not very clear what exactly brings the name of the profession to disrepute.
Mm.
And one other thing, it also based on, because the health profession is based a lot on the trust from the public. So when the public start complaining, your company or the profession, let's say in Ghana now, the nursing council have got a duty to investigate, to intervene, to see what's happening.
Yeah.
Because if they don't do something about it, the public will see what is going on in there.
What's going on,
you know,
there?
Because is that the problem?
We are already complaining about them.
Yes, because there's a lot of complaints about them. So one example, let's say if you are on live streaming, people have been complaining that nurses in Ghana, they're also on Facebook, WhatsApp, chatting and avoiding their patient or negligence and making a lot of mistakes while patients are suffering. And some of the nurses are doing their own thing. And I've had a report about what is happening in some of the hospitals in Ghana. But Now, there's an evidence available that a nurse during working hours, live streaming, doing something that's not related to the work. People say, oh, have you got a boyfriend? Have you? Can you blow me a kiss? And somebody asked the nurse, can you stop what you are doing and go back to work? Mm-hmm. And then she said, oh, all work and no play make Jack a dull boy or a lazy boy, whatever it is. But the problem that we have as a people in Ghana is that when that person said, okay, stop it and go back to work, if it was me, I would have stopped it and go back to work. It's showing a sign of remorse, saying that, oh, what I'm doing is not right. But this is a clear evidence of what has happened. So, example, let's say one of the things that brings the name of the profession to disrepute. Say, if I go out there, example, for the sake of the argument, if I go and have an argument or I fight with my wife or I beat up my wife, and it comes to the media and says, oh, this person called you a medical professional in whatever hospital has beaten up a wife and is in court and is in the news. What is happening is that whatever, because what I've done is been linked to my profession. So whatever I've done is bringing the name of the profession into disrepute, yes, giving bad image to the profession. So I can be disciplined so I can be questioned or I can be investigated for my action, whether is it really bringing the name of the profession to disrepute. Or if I go drink driving and I crash my car, and then it comes to the news, a nurse or a doctor or a physiotherapist have done something, and what they've done is in the news. They've go drink driving, they've broken the law.
I would do the same thing, but yes, it won't get anywhere.
Yeah. So once they can link your profession to what you've done, you have potentially brought the name of the company or the name of the profession into disrepute. Mm-hmm. So what is happening now? That's why sometimes we always discourage nurses to, if you are going out there, so I see in Ghana, people, nurses walk out there in their uniform and doing things. Mm-hmm. So what if you are wearing your uniform and you do something, somebody can easily link you.
Yeah.
What you have done to your profession, and then based on your code of ethics, you can Nana Owusu Akwesi says, please, you talk I can't read the message properly. Maybe I can read from here. So what is happening is that
you're getting old.
So what you've done is whatever you do, you can bring the name of the profession into disrepute. So if the company can link what this lady did and say, okay, what this lady have done has brought the name of the company into disrepute or the profession into disrepute, you can be disciplined.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the process of discipline, because sometimes normally once you do something wrong, they will suspend you or they'll give you a written warning, and then after a subsequent event,
it depends.
So I'm not sure what is the process in firing her.
I know one guy, he went to do a work in a customer's house.
Yeah.
And there was, he wanted to just to kind of urinate like piss.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bush.
Yeah.
Where, so he just went and, just eased himself there.
Yeah.
He got sacked.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
He got sacked.
Yeah. So
there was no written warning.
Yeah, there's no written.
Because the name of the company
has been linked to what you've done.
What he's done.
So that's why it's very important. Like, what do you do? So sometimes we think that, I got my own life.
Yeah.
I do my own thing and my company is different. But in health industry, it doesn't work that way. Because the health industry the nursing or the medical profession works based on the trust of the public.
Mm-hmm.
So if the public cannot trust the system, you can't get people to come in. Because you have got a duty to protect the public. So if you cannot give the assurance to the public that whatever you are doing, you can be trusted. So that's why it's very important for us to understand that what rules and regulations protect the nursing and the medical industry is completely different from what protect the banks, what protect the mechanics industry, what protect different industries, because the nursing or the medical area, they have got regulatory bodies and they got rules and regulations, they got code of ethics. For me, even when we were doing our nursing training, we were told about how to use social media. They told about, make sure you don't put anything about your work on social media.
Mm-hmm.
That will reveal the identity of your patient, the condition of your patient.
Yeah.
Because if anybody can link what you have said on Facebook to a particular patient, you have breached a code of privacy.
Yeah.
So all this thing was done. All this thing was done. It's very important. It's very important. All this thing was done to tell us, to help us to understand that whatever we do, we need to be very careful. And for me, this lesson to all nurses, medical professionals, or even people in Ghana, it's very important. please, whatever you do, know that you cannot separate your personal life from your profession. It can't happen. Because when you sign up to be a nurse or a medical doctor, this is what you have done. Yeah. Because when the last time I was going to Hawaii, right? And in the airline, there was someone having shortness of breath, asthma attack. The first thing they did was, is there any doctor or is there any nurses in the in the plane, because they counted on. So there were some nurses came out and some doctors came out. I went there as well, and then we helped this patient on whatever reason. But because of that, they gave so that they can move you to first class because of what you have done. There's a respect they give you. There's a name. It comes with the name.
And they should Ghanaian nurses should realize how important they are.
Yes,
and not only the nurses, those who work in the medical field, like
So those of you who are listening to us on 104.6 FM, please, as soon as we go offline, you can just join us on Facebook. Let's go ahead,
Hospital, coming to hospital, it's not like I'm bored, so I'm going to maybe Central Market to work. I'm going to maybe Lakeside because I'm bored.
Yeah,
I'm going to maybe see to watch the waves or whatever.
Yeah,
anybody come to the hospital is coming with a problem.
Yeah,
and you are there to solve problems.